I'll speak to you just for a few minutes here. Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. We'll read just four verses here for a text, and we'll build off from that. Matthew chapter number 26. And then beginning in verse number 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Verse 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. Through the broken bread, we see the picture of his broken body. Through the juice, the grape juice, the wine, whatever you want to call it. It's Welch's, but we see the picture of his shed blood. It's amazing how these simple elements represent the greatest display of God's love and power. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God gave him to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He gave him to be born of a virgin. He gave him to walk this earth among us for about 33 and a half years. He gave him to be despised and rejected of men. He gave him to be falsely accused and condemned. He gave him to be beaten and battered. He gave him to be pierced by nails and lifted up on a Roman cross. He gave him to bear the weight of the sins of the world. He gave him to die as a substitution in our place, in our stead. He gave him to be the first fruits of the resurrection. He gave him to be the way, the truth, and the life. He gave him to be the only means of salvation and the only hope of eternal life. Thinking of all this, I could only think of the great refrain of the old classic hymn, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." Our text this morning is from Matthew's account of the Last Supper. Christ is establishing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, there is a debate of whether or not Christ and his disciples are observing the Jewish Passover here, and I don't necessarily know that that's all that important, but I'm going to tell you what I think anyway on that, because I don't believe this is actually the Passover that they are doing. And my main argument on that is according to Matthew 27, verse 62, and John 19, verse 42, the day Christ died was the day of preparation, the day before the Passover. And fact, if you study it out, when Christ died, that hour was the hour that they were sacrificing the Passover lambs in the temple. It all matches up. That's my interpretation of the events. I know good people disagree with me on that, but that's the way that I interpret these the chronology of these events. Regardless of the technicalities of the occasion, we know that during this meal, this Last Supper that we call it, that Christ took the bread, took the wine, and established the Lord's Supper. He took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples with the words, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them with the words, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." But I want to focus this morning on the final words that Matthew records on this occasion there in verse 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Like I say, we note there that it's talking about what he says here. He says, he would not drink the fruit of the vine. It's a little bit kind of poetic language there. Like I say, whether you want to call it wine or juice, whatever, it's the fruit of the vine. It's grape, product of grapes. But he says, "I will not drink this again until a future time." And this got me to thinking, do we see this time in Scripture? Well, as I got to thinking about it and got to studying a little bit, there are three times after this that between the Last Supper, between Christ's ascension up into heaven, that he consumes food or drink. Do we see the fulfillment of this there? Well, the first of those is the very next time we see him eating or drinking anything, he's on the cross. And Matthew 27, verse 34, it says they gave him vinegar and gall. That's kind of not really like a sedative, but it would dull the pain. And they say it would actually make people live longer, suffer longer on the cross. But it says when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. It wasn't wine, he did not drink it. This cannot be that until the day of this verse. After he'd risen from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. They were still kind of hidden away in the upper room. And Luke 24 records that he ate with them. Luke 24, verse 41 through 43. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So he's eating, but there's no record of him drinking any grape juice or anything. So I don't think this is the fulfillment of that. There's a third and final occasion. It's in John chapter number 21, where Christ appeared to the disciples that had followed Simon Peter when he said, I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to my old life. And Christ reveals himself. He says, "Oh, y'all caught anything? Hadn't caught anything. Well, let your nets down the other side." Which, by the way, is exactly what happened when he called Peter to the ministry. There's a nice little bookend to that. And Peter realized it's the Lord. And they come to the shore. They get all these fish there. John chapter 21, verse number 9 says, As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So he eats bread and he eats fish. It's no stretch. I think he ate with them there, but there's no record of him drinking anything. So again, these three occasions where he consumes something, I don't think any of these fulfill what he says when he says, "I'm not going to drink the fruit of the vine until that day in my Father's kingdom." Now, we'll do maybe a little speculation here, but I do not think when he talks about when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, I don't think that refers in general to the spiritual economy after the death, burial, resurrection. Kind of like, you know, the age of grace, the church age. I don't think that that is what that refers to. I don't think the Father's kingdom refers to the church. By the way, in both of those cases, I think he had the opportunity to literally fulfill that. He did not. I don't think he's speaking abstractly here. I don't think he's pointing to something nebulous or some type of concept. I don't think that's the case. I think this is a definite statement. And as I was looking at this and thinking about it, I think this until that day has not been fulfilled yet. I think it points to future events for that time, but I think it even points to a future event for us too. It could refer to heaven in general, and I don't necessarily think that I have a big problem if you want to say that. I think it may be a little bit more specific than that, because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And having that reunion, having that fellowship with him, that could be it. It could refer to that time when Christ comes again, when he sets up his kingdom on this earth, when he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. And I'm tempted to think so. So many of the prophecies talk about that time. But I just want to point out, I think there's three requirements that point to what is this day? What is this event that he's saying? I'm one day, using the picture of the Lord's Supper, one day I will eat and drink with you. What is it looking forward to? First, it has to be a time when the picture of the Lord's Supper is completely fulfilled. It's completely fulfilled. That is complete fulfillment of the gospel, complete victory over sin. Second, it must be new. I love that word that is in here. It says, when I drink it new with you. When Christ says that, I don't think he's saying it's fresh. We got it fresh off the vine. Somebody just stomped on it in the vat. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. That new is the idea of something new replacing the old. Think of the difference between the Old and New Testament. I was thinking, my Aunt Lisa's not here this morning, but she took a trip once and was telling us about this. She went over to England. And around here, our oldest buildings, if we see a building built, mid-1800s around here, that's remarkable. I mean, the oldest cabins and stuff we have, maybe 1840s, 50s, 60s, about that in this area. 1900, that's an old building around here. You go over to England, I'm like, oh, this building was built in 1200 AD, and it's all so much older. And remember my Aunt Lisa telling me about this, so that she took a tour, and the tour guide would tell them, like, okay, here is this cathedral, here's this building, and this is the new one. This is the new cathedral. Well, what happened to the old one? Well, the old one burned down in 1400, and they rebuilt this one. This one's only 600 years old. And she would say that's what they do. But the idea was, it wasn't exactly new like we think, but it had replaced the old. It had been built up to replace the old. It's not just a renovation. It's not just a renewal. It's a replacement, a consummation, if you will. Third, it must be in my Father's kingdom. Like I said, there's different ways you can understand that. I think it could point to the millennial kingdom. I think it could point even beyond that to eternity future. I'm not sure it really matters. But here's my point. I know I've rambled a lot and all of that. Hopefully you're following along with me. But here's my point. The Lord's Supper, yes, it points backwards to what Christ did. It's a memorial service. We say this do in remembrance of me. We look back. We picture in our minds, in our hearts, the broken body, the shed blood of Christ. But there also is an element that looks forward. That looks forward to the gospel work being completed. The price completely paid, and it has been completely paid. But we still deal with sin in our lives. We still deal with the effects of sin, the pain, the heartache, the death, the parting. But there'll come a day when all that will be past. There'll come a day we'll be with Christ. Because Christ was, we look at this, we look back at the sacrifice, but Christ didn't just die. That's not the whole story. He borrowed a tomb for the weekend and he rose again. He lives forevermore. He will never die. The work is finished. One day, we'll be with him. We'll be with him in heaven. We'll rule with him. I talked to a Church of Christ guy one time. He said, the Bible doesn't say you'll be there. I said, go there, Revelation. I said, we'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. We will dwell with him in the holy city, New Jerusalem. I told you that word new. It'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah, it's good to look back, but we can also look ahead. We can also look ahead. Because of the shed blood, because of the broken body, because of his victory over death, hell, and the grave, we have a tremendous future. We have a hope that is sure that we will be with him. We have a hope that the sin, the death, will not keep us captive. We have victory that will come. And I don't know. I don't know if I can necessarily point to you a specific time and say, this is exactly when this verse is talking about. I don't know that I can. But as I look to the future and I look at that great victory that lies ahead for the child of God, that victory that Christ won, that he lets us have a part in. It's kind of like we were watching some college football games last night and always marvel at the number of players on a college football team. There's like 100 guys over there. Some of those guys never get on the field, but they win the game just as much as the people on the field. They jump up and down. They celebrate. listen, we're on Christ's team. He did it all. But he shares that victory with us. And as I read these words and he says, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine, I can't see that he ever did. Until that day's coming for the child of God. I'll drink it new. And I can say, I think that may just point to a new heaven, new earth, new city, a new existence free from sin in the Father's kingdom that he brings us into. What a blessing that is. What a joy. What a hope. So yes, we look back this morning in the Lord's Supper, but there also is a forward aspect, the completion of the gospel work. I've shared with y'all before, and it really helps you kind of understand some things in the Bible. There's a good little outline that talks about the three tenses of salvation. The Bible says that we were saved, and we were saved. When you get saved, you are, it's in the past, you are saved from the penalty of sin. You will never face hell. That all that sin penalty is done. In the presence, we deal with the presence or the power of sin. God gives us the grace to overcome it in our present tense. But there will come a day when the very presence of sin will be gone. And we look forward to that day. And I think that when Christ says that, that's what he's saying. Yes, I'm doing this work. The work continues and it is finished. It will be finished. And we will have a part in that. So as we transition here into the Lord's Supper, I just want us to, yes, have an eye looking backwards, but have an eye looking forwards. Have an eye looking forward to what lies ahead, the blessings for the child of God. Thanks to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Thanks to the gospel.